And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The latest Lutheran Radio UK audience growth figures have just been published, and we give thanks that our audience figures have shot up a staggering 146% compared to the second quarter of last year. The last 3 months is up over 82% on last year. We give thanks to God and to all of you for making Lutheran Radio UK a success. Keep tuning in and tell your friends about LRUK. A Lutheran church in Portland, Oregon has given sanctuary and refuge to a community activist who first came to the US from El Salvador nearly 2 decades ago. He spent the weekend hidden in the church, becoming the latest immigrant to seek sanctuary as authorities try to deport him. Francisco Aguirre, who has lived illegally in the US for 19 years and has 2 children who are American citizens, is facing deportation due to a drug trafficking conviction 15 years ago and a previous deportation, authorities said. Aguirre, 35, is now the coordinator of the Voz Workers' Rights Education Project, a Portland non-profit organization that runs a day labor center. He's a well-known immigrant rights organizer and a musician who performs songs about social justice. His case marks the first time in recent years that an immigrant has been granted sanctuary inside an Oregon church. During the past decade, as reform has stalled, churches around the country have offered refuge to immigrants who lack legal status. Experts estimate about 300 congregations nationwide are willing and ready to give sanctuary to such immigrants. Immigration officials generally do not arrest people inside churches and other places of worship. Aguirre has vowed to remain at Augustana Lutheran Church in Portland until he's able to resolve his immigration case. His immigration lawyer, Stephen Manning, says Aguirre is in the process of obtaining a U visa, a special document for crime victims who help authorities investigate or prosecute cases. Aguirre says he first entered the US illegally in 1995. He worked as a day laborer and helped found the non-profit group that operates the day labor center. Aguirre also runs a computer repair business from his home. The U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement said Aguirre was deported to El Salvador in 2000 following a conviction for drug trafficking offenses. He then unlawfully re-entered the country, spokesman Andrew Munoz said in a statement. Aguirre came to the attention of immigration authorities in August following his arrest for driving under the influence. Due to his criminal history, previous deportation and most recent DUI charge, Aguirre is considered a public safety threat and a priority for removal by ICE, Munoz said. Aguirre disputes the criminal prosecutions and says he was innocent, but a lawyer told him to plead no contest, a decision he now regrets. The court documents could not be acquired on Monday. A court clerk said the case was so old the files have been stored in a warehouse. Some Portland community leaders, saying Aguirre has become a role model for his peers, have launched a campaign to prevent his deportation. I believe I should be allowed to stay in Oregon because I'm a good citizen. I'm a part of this community and this is where I belong, Aguirre said. Aguirre took refuge at the church after immigration officials sought to arrest him Friday at his home in Fairview, a suburb of Portland. He says they couldn't provide a warrant and left after he refused to come outside. The 900-member Augustana Lutheran Church is one of several dozen churches in Oregon that are part of the sanctuary movement and have pledged to give refuge to immigrants living in the country illegally. A church is a place without borders, the church's pastor Mark Knutson said. It allows people to be and to sort things out, without guns, without coercion. The sanctuary movement was popular in the 1980s when it sought to help Central American migrants fleeing civil wars to stay in the US by letting them live in churches. In 2006, it saw a revival when Elvira Arellano made international headlines after she took sanctuary in a Methodist church in Chicago, where she remained for a year. Her order of deportation was never removed, and she was arrested in Los Angeles during a publicity tour in 2007 and deported to Mexico. She made her way back to the U.S. and was paroled by U.S. immigration authorities in March. An immigration judge will determine the outcome of her case. This year, at least 3 immigrants found refuge in churches in Arizona. Earlier this month, a Chicago church offered sanctuary to an immigrant mother and her 2 children. On Sunday, October the 26th, the president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Dr. Lawrence Rast, will be speaking at the 69th Annual Joint Reformation Service at the Town and Country Lutheran Church in Sacramento, California. They are expecting a cracking turnout after last year when Dr. Paul Meyer addressed a very big crowd. The congregation look forward to greeting Dr. Rast and any visitors that may wish to join the throng. Just to repeat this, this is Sunday, October the 26th. Americans are increasingly inclined to support religious influence in politics, according to a study released this week that highlighted the US divide between the faithful and non-religious. Some 72% of the US public say religion is losing sway on American life, up 5 points since 2010, the Pew Research Center poll showed. But most of those respondents disapprove of the trend it found. Nearly half of all Americans, 49%, believe churches and other houses of worship should have a greater influence in politics than they presently do, up 6 points since 2010. Despite increased public acceptance of gay rights in recent years, the study found a drop in support for same-sex marriage, with 49% in favour and 41% opposed, a 5-point dip from a February Pew Research poll. And fully half of Americans now consider homosexuality a sin, up from 45% just 1 year ago. The study is a treasure trove of socio-political data as the United States gallops towards its midterm congressional elections on November the 4th. Republicans and Democrats are split on several religious issues. 59% of Republicans say they believe churches should express their views on political matters, while just 42% of Democrats said the same. Supporters of both parties were in agreement that churches should not endorse candidates, although that figure has dropped from 70% in 2010 to 63% today. One finding that has remained relatively constant is the number of people, 59%, who believe it is important for members of Congress to have strong religious beliefs. An Israeli museum on Thursday unveiled what it says is the oldest known Jewish prayer book in the world, dating back to the 9th century AD. The prayer book, about 10 centimeters or 4 inches long and 7 centimeters wide, is written in Hebrew, contains about 50 pages, and is still in its original binding. It was donated to the Bible Lands Museum in Jerusalem by Oklahoma businessman Steve Green, a devout Christian and owner of one of the largest collections of rare biblical artifacts in the world. Green's family controls the Hobby Lobby craft store chain, which won a closely watched US Supreme Court ruling in June that allows it to assert religious beliefs to avoid covering contraceptives in employee health plans. Green said that the book originated in the Middle East and that three experts working independently had carbon dated it to 820 AD. Haggai Ben Shammai, the academic director of Israel's National Library, agreed that the prayer book could be the most ancient Hebrew codex known to exist, though he said there is another contender in Germany. A codex is a manuscript bound in book form with writing on both sides of page. Until the 5th or 6th century, Hebrew documents were written on parchment scrolls, so a codex represents a big step forward in the history of manuscripts. I have no doubt it's an important thing, Shammai said. We don't have very ancient examples of Jewish codexes. But Aviad Stolman, curator of the National Library's Judaica collection, said he was not convinced Green's donation is from the 9th century, or that it is an even ancient codex or Jewish prayer book. He said the manuscript needed further research to shed light on its authenticity. Perhaps it is a collection of papers, Stolman said. In some ways, it looks as if someone took a bunch of papers and collated them. Museum director Amanda Weiss said she was convinced that the prayer book is genuine based on the carbon dating of Green's experts. Alluding to the prayers it contains, prayers still recited by observant Jews today, she said it had special cultural significance and is a testament to the continuity of the Jewish people. Green said he came from a very religious family and had several relatives who had been clergymen. He said he donated the book because he wanted to bring our love for the Bible to the land of the Bible. His family plans to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to create a Bible museum on land near the National Mall in Washington. It's scheduled to open in 2017 and will display the family's massive collection of biblical artifacts, including ancient texts. Syria's Western-backed opposition welcomed US-led airstrikes on Islamic State strongholds in Syria on Tuesday, saying they would strengthen its struggle against President Bashar al-Assad. The targets of the air and missile strikes included Raqqa City in northern Syria, the headquarters of the Islamic State, an extremist Sunni Muslim force that has seized large expanses of territory in Iraq and Syria and proclaimed a caliphate, erasing borders in the heart of the Middle East. A significant part of US President Barack Obama's strategy against Islamic State depends on bolstering Syria's moderate rebels to strengthen the opposition as the best counterweight to the extremists. This will make us stronger in the fight against Assad. The campaign should continue until the Islamic State is completely eradicated from Syrian lands, Monzer Akbik, special envoy to the president of Syria's opposition National Coalition, told Reuters. We will help the Syrian people and their fight against terrorism, and hopefully these lands will be liberated and our democratic aims reached, he said. In northern Syria, where Islamic State had captured tracts of territory, the opposition Free Syrian Army said the West had to boost support for its fighters in order to defeat the militant group. We know this enemy and the terrain to succeed in this fight, a statement from the FSA in northern Syria said. It also urged its foreign allies to continue putting pressure on Assad. Syria's moderate rebels have found themselves fighting both the Islamic State and Syrian government forces. US officials have said the plan is to enable them to hold the ground they already had in an increasingly complex war. Islamic State had increasingly emerged as the strongest insurgent group in the more than three-year war. And finally, a French criminal came up with a cunning plan to escape the long arm of the law by announcing his own funeral, which both the police and his unsuspecting granny attended. The 26-year-old, wanted for a long list of offences including fraud and theft, placed a death notice in the Caisse France regional paper and online. It said, "His mother, father and brothers, sister and the whole of the family would like to inform you of the death of Cedric L., who passed away on Thursday, September the 11th, at the age of 26," the notice read. "The funeral will be celebrated Tuesday, September the 16th at 10:30. But police smelt a rat and turned up to the funeral at the appointed time to find neither a body nor a funeral, just a bemused grandmother who wasn't in on the act. The young man planned the scam with great precision, phoning the funeral service pretending to be his brother and then the paper which dutifully confirmed the information with the funeral home. The prosecutor on Friday confirmed that reports of the young man's death had been greatly exaggerated. President, the local bar, Bertrand Deniot, said, "We know him very well. He's got a long record. We had him in court when he was still a minor. When we saw his death notice, we were all a bit surprised," said Denio. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.